You may like to turn to Psalm 1, in fact, which is on page 543 in these Bibles, page 543, Psalm 1. And we're continuing the theme of fruitful disciple. And, you know, God really wants you to be a fruitful disciple. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to be fruitful in your life. He wants you to live life in all its fullness in that way. God desires great things for you in that sense. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? It's good some of you do, okay? It's good to have some of you on board, okay? This is what God wants, okay? He saved you for a purpose, okay? Do you understand? He says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He's got a purpose for you. And it's exciting, okay? Okay? You've really got a reason to live on this earth, okay? You've really got a reason to live on this earth. Okay, and so as you go out from here today, you can go excited knowing you're going with purpose because you're going as a disciple of Jesus Christ and he is going to work through you with power. Okay, and bring fruit in your life. Okay, that's good, isn't it? Okay, I don't really say anymore, do I, with that? Okay, but we're in the middle of a series about being fruitful disciples, and we've just moved into a phase where we've been working our way through the Great Commandment, and the Great Commandment starts off this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus says, second is like it: love your neighbour as yourself. And as we looked for a number of sessions at loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, we looked at what it meant to love our neighbour, and now we're coming to what it means to love ourselves, because we're called to love our neighbour as ourselves. And sometimes we struggle with that almost in Christian things, or may even be in secular things as well. Actually, we struggle to love ourselves. But that's what we're called, love your neighbour as yourself. So what does it mean to love yourself? We're going to be having a wedding in our household in 3 months' time or thereabouts. And, you know, the bride at a wedding treats herself well for the wedding. Yeah? What that means is, you know, there's a whole period beforehand of preparation, of getting things ready, deciding exactly what's needed, what's wanted, how it's to look, etc., etc., yeah? And then on the day, I mean, the reason that apparently that Dave and Emily have chosen an afternoon wedding is because it gives time to get ready in the morning, okay? Time to wake up, is it? Okay. Okay? So it takes time to get ready, but the thing is this, is actually that whole process on that morning is it's very much about getting ready, but treating yourself well, yeah, that the hair's done nicely, the dress is all put on properly, the makeup's done, all that sort of thing, okay? It's all about... that's just David. Yeah, that's just David. Yeah, that's just David. Yeah. It's treating themselves well with a real purpose. And we looked earlier at that verse in Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's read Psalm 1 together. This is what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Before the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So, love God's child and treat yourself well. Blessed is the man in that psalm. Whatever he does prospers. In fact, in this NIV, it says, blessed is the one. It's gender neutral. Blessed is the person. Whatever he does prospers. You and I have a choice. We have a choice. In Galatians 5, it says this, I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. You see, Psalm 37 verse 4 said about, delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. The third problem that you and I have is that if we're delighting ourselves perfectly in the Lord, our heart then is desiring perfectly what God wants. The problem you and I have is by background, we are sinful. And we have this sinful nature. And what Paul's distinguishing here is that actually the sinful nature desires certain things. And I would suggest that actually, when we search through the Argos catalogue, when we're watching all those sort of things, actually what that's doing is it's stimulating the sinful nature in us in terms of the things that we desire. And what Paul's calling us to do is to seek what the Spirit wants, not what our sinful nature desires. So you and I have a choice as to whether I am going to be stimulated by the sinful nature or I'm going to be stimulated by the Word and the Spirit. I say Word and Spirit in there because, well, Paul talks particularly contrary to the Spirit. Of course, in Psalm 1, it's very much the blessed is the man who delights on the law of the Lord day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, it says in verse 2. Whatever he does prospers. Where am I heading? What am I feeding my heart on? Jesus offers us the offer of life. I have come that may have life and have it to the full. What does fullness of life mean? It means something quite different, I would suggest, to the secular person to what it does to us as believers. Because what Jesus says in John 17, a few chapters later, he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know God. True life in all its fullness is this. It doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions or anything else. It consists in knowing God. There is nothing better than knowing God. If there's nothing else you go away with this morning, remember this, there's nothing better than knowing God. That's why as we come to worship together, what we seek is we seek the presence of God. That's why I trust when you spend that time in the morning and in the evening to just devote a little time to the Lord, what you're wanting is you want to know the presence of God. You want to know more of God and his presence and his fullness in your life. Because that's what life's all about, is knowing God. Okay, that's why he put us here in the first place in Genesis 1. He put us here as human beings that we might know God. And the disaster of life is this, is that sin came and destroyed that relationship. But the beauty of the gospel, unlike anything we heard about unicorns earlier, is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Okay, that's what Jesus Christ did. And he's brought us into a relationship with God so that we are, according to the words of Romans now, right with God. We are in a relationship with God. This is life in all its fullness. And so what we're called to do in Proverbs is this, is to guard our hearts. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Out of your heart comes your desires. It's your heart which causes you to trust in different things. It's your heart which causes you to love certain things and not others. It's from your heart. What are you feeding your heart on? I want to call us to balanced thinking. You know, I we've talked earlier in our sharing about some of the situations we face. And what happens in our mind's eyes is this, is we see the situation. and the situation's looming big. And you can see there, Homer, in the middle of the situation, you may feel you're right bang in the middle. And what you're seeing is this massive tunnel looking ahead. And it all looks dark for you. We're stuck in the situation. The question is this. Is when you're in that situation, how do you and I respond? Do we tend to zap out in a kind of hostile type of way? Or do we tend to zone out in a kind of escapist type of way? Where maybe it's alcohol or TV or whatever it is, we seek to take our mind off it. Or do we zoom out and see the big picture? Because when we zoom out, this is what we find. Is God is so much bigger. And the truth of the matter is, while you're in the middle of that situation, actually, you are also right in the middle. You're tiny. You're even smaller than you thought. Okay? You're even smaller than you thought. But so is the situation. And God is so much bigger. And you are right in the heart of God. Just when you're feeling you're in the middle of that situation. You and I need to consciously zoom out and see the big picture. And the big picture is a simple three-letter word. God. God is over all, in all, and through all. He reigns supreme. He is the beginning and the end. God was around before you were born. And he will be around after you die. God was around before whatever situation you were facing ever came about. And he will still be around when that is completed and done and gone away. And not only that, he is also right there in the midst of, but actually also surrounding that whole issue and situation. And so no wonder that Jesus tells us not to worry. Because, I don't know why that's doing that again, shouldn't be. In Isaiah 40 it says, to whom then will you compare God? I encourage you, if you're ever stressed in life, go to Isaiah 40, the latter part of it. It's about who will you compare God to? God doesn't bear comparison to anybody or anything. In Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah the prophet says this, God says to him, I know the plans I have for you. So I'm saying, he's got a purpose for you. He's got hope and a future for you. He desires good things for you. This is your God. And it says in Romans 8, Paul says, in all things, God works for the good of those who loved him and have been called according to his purpose. And what does that good look like? The good is this, is you are becoming like Christ. But you see, that sounds a bit naff unless your heart is in the right place. And then it becomes amazing. If my heart's in the right place, and how's my heart become in the right place? Well, by delighting in the Lord. That's why worship and meditating on his word is so important. And so therefore Jesus tells us, therefore don't worry about this life. Your Father knows what you need. In fact, your Father knew what you needed before you knew it. He knew what you needed before that. And so Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his reign in your life. Seek his will. And he will provide all you need. Seek his will and he will provide. What is it you're wanting this morning? Is it a bit of peace? Is it some more money of some kind? You're sure? Is it a relationship? you're wanting a relationship sorted out, or you're wanting a relationship and you don't feel you have it at the moment. Is it you feel like you're lacking success? And you're crying out, oh Lord, just make me successful in some way. Give me something I feel I've achieved. I just come back to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Philippians 4 says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice! Okay, it's got an exclamation mark there in the Bible. Okay, so I'm allowed to shout that. Okay, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I want to emphasize at this point, well, notice those underlinings, first of all. I think each of us at heart want to be gentle to the people around us. But often what happens in our lives is situations come and consume us, and we get uptight about various different things, and we suddenly find that we zap out in some way. And of course, we didn't want to. That's what we wanted to do. But it happens. See, the secret against that is think about the things which are true and lovely. It says don't be anxious about anything. Have you ever found yourself being anxious? Oh, man. Yeah. We worry about things, don't we? And it plays on our minds, and we wake up in the night and we're thinking about it, and then we can be in the middle of the conversation sometimes with someone else, and suddenly it pops back into our mind again. Yeah, it's like, oh, man, I want to get this out. And sometimes we begin to decline in these situations then to actually, as I said, to zone out in some way. We try to escape from it. But what God calls us to do is to zoom out and to see the big picture of who He is and what He's doing. And the wonder is, as we do so, is it says there, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know, I believe actually at the heart of what most people want and need in our world today is peace. Peace in their heart and their mind. That's what they're seeking. They're pursuing all sorts of things to try and find it. And they can't. And they can't, because what they need is Jesus Christ. And the wonder is this, is that you and I, as the children of God, we have it. And yet sometimes still we don't take hold of it. But it's there for you and I, for us. He talked about a glass ceiling. We talked about it raining on us and such like, and not putting the umbrellas up. That's what God wants to give us. He wants to give us peace. He wants to rain peace on you. Not rain in the R-E-I-G-N sense, but in the R-A-I-N sense, yeah? He wants to pour it down upon you, that you would know peace, complete peace in your life. Jesus was a man of peace. He wants you to be like Christ and to know that peace. And it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In other words, it will keep you thinking about those right things. Exactly the things Paul's talking about in that latter part of the verses. We need to think well. Think on good things. We also need to think well regularly. Psalm 1 verse 2 said, meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Think well and keep thinking well. Keep remembering what God has done for you. What God has done for you. Keep remembering the greatness and goodness of God. We're called to live by faith, not by sight. It's in Hebrews 11. You know, you could, in the midst of that situation, no, step back. Live the life of faith. See what God has done. And in order to do that, what we need to do is take a balanced diet. In Psalm 23, the psalmist writes these words. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What are your enemies? What's unsettling you at the moment? What's giving you that lack of peace in your life? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the truth of the matter is this, you know, on God's table, there isn't just McDonald's and KFC, okay? He gives you real good quality food. Okay, that's no detriment to McDonald's or KFC, okay, just for the sake of the video recording. But he gives you a balanced diet. My sister was up last weekend with her husband, and I didn't know before they arrived, but they're on a Weight Watchers program. And so everything during the weekend was about the number of points. It was like, this is so many points. And I couldn't believe that a slice of toast was 6 points in a scheme, and my sister, I think, could only have 25 points a day or something. It's crazy, man. But anyway, there we are. So there we are. So we were really focusing on, you know, what the different elements were worth and the different points. And of course, you need to have your green and such like, as well as your proteins and your carbohydrates, all a whole mix of different things, don't you? Balanced diet. Well, it's the same when it comes to your spiritual life. Okay, you and I not only need to feed our bodies, but we need to feed our hearts and our minds. The truth of the matter is this, is all of us actually are feeding our hearts and minds all the time. Every moment of the day, you and I are feeding our hearts and minds in some way. By what we listen to, by what we read, by what we watch, by the places we go, we're feeding our hearts and our minds, just like those kids for Christmas through the Argos catalogue. I want this, I want that. What are you and I feeding our hearts and our minds on? It's that verse again. First thing is this, prayer and petition. I'll put it as prayer and worship in a more generic sense. We need to pray and to worship. If you like, with your hands, worship and prayer, actually in the Bible it's about raising your hands up. Okay? They raised up their hands. It says, lift up holy hands in prayer and in worship. Lift your hands up in prayer and in worship. What we read about Jesus is this, is that he would go to solitary places. I'm not going to turn to all the passages, but he'd turn to solitary places to pray and to worship. And he'd also meet in the synagogue to pray and to worship. There's a place for prayer and worship on your own. There's a place for prayer and worship together. And they're both actually a vital part of our spiritual diet. So well done, guys. You've come this morning to pray and worship together, okay? Your first step on your spiritual diet. Second thing is this, we get it particularly from Psalm 1, is to learn and to meditate. He meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. In Luke chapter 4, we find with Jesus. It's quite clear that Jesus spent time on his own in the Word. So when he comes to the place of temptation, he's able to respond with the Word of God. I don't think he definitely didn't have a phone in his back pocket with a Bible on it. And I don't think he had a bunch of scrolls with him in the desert either. Okay? It was in his mind. Yeah? He was able to quote it. He knew what God's Word said. He'd learnt it as a child as he come through. Learn and meditate on God's word. To learn it off by heart, to know it, actually is part of meditation to me. You're going over it again and again, just letting it sink in. And that's actually where the scripture tends to go from the heart, from the mind to the heart. As we reflect on it again and again, it moves from the mind to the heart and becomes then part of our desires and our life. And we become fruitful in the kingdom of God. Prayer and petition. Meditate on God's word, both together and alone. Then there's also testimony and giving thanks. I think it's vitally important to listen, actually, to what God's doing in other people's lives. I love to hear. Doesn't it give you excitement, okay, when you hear what God's doing? You know, just hear Colin sharing about his healing a couple of months ago. Okay, it's good to hear what God's doing in other people's lives. And so I want to encourage us as a fellowship to share what God's doing, because actually by doing so, we build other people up. With Jesus, what did we find in the New Testament? People told others what Jesus had done. Result, others came to Jesus. But actually, I'm talking here particularly for ourselves, but it also applies for outside as well. Actually, we need to be hearing other people's testimony, that we would be built up and encouraged. And what testimony does is it inspires a thankful heart. Just think in terms of your own testimony too, what God's done in your life. What has he done? Has he done anything in your life? Has God done anything? Has he filled you with his Holy Spirit? Have he given you assurance of salvation? If not, my friends, seek it with all your heart now. Okay? You need to pursue it. But if you know it, then it should fill you up with that joy within. Okay? The joy of knowing salvation. It's exciting. Okay? And fills us with thankfulness. Even when life's a right mess, as we zoom out, not only do we see God, but we see Jesus Christ on the cross. For you and for I, he suffered there for us. And my heart has to be, how can I be anything other than thankful when I see what Jesus Christ did for me? Not only do we need to give testimony and give thanks, but also a balanced diet. You see, part of the Weight Watchers points was this. You got extra points if you did exercise. So you can eat more. It's great. So get out and exercise, okay? And you and I, actually as believers, okay, our spiritual heart needs to be exercised. Okay? If you're not exercising, you're just going to get, you're wasted, to be honest. Couch potato. Spiritual couch potato. You need to exercise too. And that means we need to serve. Do everything serving the Lord. We need to persevere. Sometimes we have to push through. Pushing through whatever the situation is, persevering, and it's exercising that spiritual exercise, exercising our faith as we push through in God, knowing that he has a future for us. And we're also called to witness, which again is a spiritual exercise as we go out and witness to others of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the challenge is this, is to feed healthily. And lastly, let me just capture this, is not only do we need to think healthily, not only do we need to eat a healthy diet, but also it's just about living a balanced life. And it's a bit like on a seesaw, and there's the centre of a seesaw is the fulcrum point. And what I believe is this, actually in the whole of our lives, the centre is our Father God. And if our lives are centred on the Father God, in every part of our lives, then actually our lives are well balanced. And what that means is this, is when you're working and when you're resting. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, he says, in terms of work. Jesus, when he's with Mary and Martha, he says that Mary's desired the better thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Whether you're working or you're resting, is it focused on Jesus Christ? Is it focused on God the Father? Is it allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you? I think this does influence how we think when we're in a work situation or in a study situation, or what we do as work in the local community or whatever it is, on a voluntary capacity, the people we're serving, all those sort of things, depending on your situation in life. But it also affects what we do in what we call these days leisure time. What do I do when I rest? Actually, how am I feeding my heart and my mind when I'm at leisure? Is it Father, Christ, and Holy Spirit orientated? Or am I eating? There's quite a bit in the New Testament about both feasting and fasting. There's times when we're called to celebrate and to feast, and there's times when we're called to fast and to mourn and to seek more of God. But in both situations, whatever it is, whether I'm fasting or I'm feasting at the time, actually it's about the Father being central to both of those situations. Am I fasting for myself or for the Father? Am I feasting for myself or for the Father? Jesus said this too. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." That's the real food in your life, doing the will of him who sent me. And then lastly, I just want to say, whether we're in social situation or alone, it's about the Father being central. Jesus, we read, was sometimes with many people and healing them and serving them. And then at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. He mixed the two. You and I need both. We need that friendship and companionship together. Actually, we need each other so that we can serve one another. Your service is a vital part of your balanced Christian life. But you also need to spend that time with God alone and with Him. So, it's your choice. Do you want to think healthily? Do you want to take a healthy diet in life? Do you want to live healthily? I tell you, you can eat healthily, physically, so that you will live a little bit longer. But you can eat healthily, spiritually, so that you will bring phenomenal fruit in this world, which will carry through into eternal life. And so the Apostle Paul says, physical exercise has some value. Physical training has some value. But godliness leads to eternal life. My friends, let us choose wisely this day and treat yourself well. You see, there's one other thing I just want to say as a closing this. You see, there's a massive difference between giving myself treats and treating myself well. You see, we had the Norrises round last night, actually, and their dog, Bomber. Lovely dog, beautiful dog. I mean, if I was to have a dog, we've never had a dog. If I was to have a dog, I'd have a dog like Bomber, for sure. But you see, it's possible to give a dog lots of treats. But my daughter's been doing animal science, and part of her dissertation is about pet obesity. And one of the issues is about owners who give their dogs lots of treats. Nothing wrong with an occasional treat. But you see, if I give myself lots of treats, actually it's not healthy. Treats are something special. Treating yourself well is something completely different. And God calls us to treat ourselves well because He loves us and has ordained us for eternal life. In Christ's name, Amen.